Welcome to the Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice podcast. Our goal is to prioritize prevention conversations that matter. Our topic for today is exploring the involvement and impact of the Talk They Hear You learning community with special guests, David Schick and Allison Zepernick. Now here's our guest host, Leslie Hoyleman.
Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of season 3 on Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice. This podcast is hosted by the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion, and I'm your guest host today, Leslie Hoyleman. I am honored to serve Ohio as a project manager with the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion and the Partnership for Community-Based Prevention at the Voinovich School for Leadership and Public Service. The Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion, administered by Ohio University's Voinovich School of Leadership and Public Service, in collaboration with the Pacific Institute for Research and Evaluation, implemented a multi-tiered approach to disseminate the evidence-based media campaign, Talk They Hear You. The Talk They Hear You campaign is administered by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, also known as SAMHSA. The campaign was selected as a data-driven response to underage alcohol consumption and youth vaping in Ohio and is designed to address these issues by promoting a key protective factor, conversations between adults and youth about substance use. It aims to reduce substance use among individuals under the age of 21 by providing adults with information and the resources they need to share conversations about substance use early and often with children, youth, and young adults. To localize this statewide initiative, the center awarded $10,000 grants to 27 community organizations across 44 Ohio counties. As a condition for funding, grantees were required to engage in a dedicated learning community of practice designed to support Talk They Hear You implementation while simultaneously encouraging community coalition growth and sustainability. The learning community also provided grantees with a valuable workforce development opportunity. So today, we are pleased to share a conversation with two of our grantees about their experiences in the learning community, what they learned, how they applied it locally, and the impact it has had on their prevention efforts. Our first guest, David Schick, is the Director of Marketing and Communications at the Lake County Alcohol, Drug, and Mental Health Services Board, otherwise known as the Lake County Adams Board. He has spent more than 20 years as a marketing professional, working across a wide range of fields, from direct response and public utilities to recycling education. For his current role, David leads efforts to raise awareness about mental health and substance use disorders. Welcome, David.
Thank you for having me on.
We're excited to have you here today. Our second guest is grantee Allison Zepernick, Director of Youth Coalition at the Family Recovery Center. Allison is a dedicated prevention professional with a passion for community service and collaboration. She has spent the last decade in youth-led prevention, first as a student and volunteer, and now she runs the same youth-led prevention program that inspired her love for the mental and behavioral health field. Through her work at Family Recovery Center, she seeks to empower youth to create a better tomorrow. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me, Leslie.
Thank you both for joining us today. I'm really excited to get into our topic. But first, our listeners really appreciate when our guests share a bit beyond their bio. So at the top of the show, we made some space for both of you to share a little bit about who you are off paper beyond the bio that I just read. Feel free to share what's comfortable for you, maybe a little bit about your typical day, a part of your work that's really important to you, or even a personal nugget or fun fact about you that you'd like to share with our listeners. Allison, why don't you go first?
I would love to share my favorite part of my work, which I definitely am very passionate about my youth-led prevention program. And I love working with the students in the program. I meet some of them when they're freshmen in ninth grade, and when they stick with the program for all 4 years of high school, I really get to know them and watch them transform into really strong leaders. And oftentimes, like me, they end up inspired to pursue their passion through mental and behavioral health. And it's amazing to be a part of that journey with them.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. That is so exciting. And what an impact you're creating in your community and also in prevention, right? Training up the leaders for the future. So thank you for that work. What about you, David?
Well, a typical day with the alcohol, drug addiction, mental health services board. So there is one in every county here in Ohio. And each of us are working in different ways to help those, you know, with a mental illness or a substance use disorder, and really helping the community as a whole. So my typical day is, you know, working with, we have 16 agencies that are part of our Adams Board network. So it's working with them as far as some of their needs. You know, some of them vary in size from large organizations to small. So you may be, you know, helping a smaller one write a press release, a larger one do an event. And we kind of work with all the revenue streams that they are able to apply for as well, whether it be a federal, state, or, you know, local tax levy money that we're able to collect. It's kind of helping them with their mission as well. And certainly, you know, that's what I do while I'm here. And, you know, on a personal side, I'm also a basketball referee. So I do that for high school sports. So, you know, I'm the person that might get booed at when you have a good call or a bad call. But that's the fun thing I like to do to kind of be part of a sport I love, which is basketball.
That's fantastic. As a former basketball player, thank you for your service in that. That is not easy to deal with all that. and thank you for your service to your community in Lake County. All of those administrative tasks, while not maybe seen up front, are so vital to sustainability and capacity within our community and our organization. So I just want to say thank you both for giving us a glimpse into who you are and what's important to you. So what do you think? Should we jump into today's topic? Are we ready to discuss the campaign and the learning community?
Ready and excited.
All right. So the Talk They Hear You underage drinking campaign was initiated rather by SAMHSA in 2013, which means that this has been around for more than a decade. Like, I find that shocking. I don't know if that surprised either one of you.
Certainly familiar with it in the past and excited that we had an opportunity to kind of use some of their materials here locally.
Yeah, great. So you were familiar with it previously. What about you, Allison?
No, it was a new campaign for me. I was really excited to see it and to get into it. And I was also surprised hearing that it had been around for so long, because you would think that as an established prevention organization, we would have heard about it prior to the grant opportunity. So it was definitely fun to learn about it, but it wasn't something I knew about before.
All right. So when you first learned about this funding opportunity, what inspired the organization to adopt the campaign? Allison, why don't you go first?
Honestly, we believe in the message and the mission behind the campaign. But realistically, we're seeing that there's kind of this disconnect between what youth perceive as far as whether or not adults value them in the community and the fact that adults do value young people in the community. So we were really hoping to kind of bridge that gap. And this campaign is a really great way to do that, because the whole purpose is for parents and guardians to empower the kids in their house to make healthy choices.
Yes, that is so true. That is, that's a really great opportunity, right, to bridge that gap and start getting that communication, that two-way communication going. David, what about you? What inspired Lake County Adams Board to adopt the campaign?
Well, you know, certainly we have providers and agencies that have school-based services, but we felt that all of those services kind of happen within the school building itself, and we really liked the materials that this campaign had. Just some of the messaging and artwork and everything was really good, and we kind of focused on stuff that happens outside of the school building per se. So we liked, you know, being able to find ways to reach them. Because we know that so many parents are taking their kids to activities or sporting events or family members or whatever it may be. And we were trying to catch them in kind of more of a casual setting where they would be together, but maybe out of that school-based setting.
Yeah. So it sounds like you had sort of similar goals, right? In trying to create those conversations and connect with the youth outside of the school building and build those relationships. Can you think of any specific challenges regarding that the Lake County Adams Board was hoping to address?
Well, I mean, Lake County, statistically, we know that there's a high rate of binge drinking in our county that's higher than in other areas within Ohio. So we knew that alcohol was going to be probably prevalent in homes, that children are seeing it. So we really felt, you know, being able to have that conversation in the teenage years is what we were looking at, you know, teenagers that were kind of that PG-13 to PG-16, let's say. That's where we kind of looked at, kind of list them that way. But, you know, that's where we were focused at, knowing that, you know, statistically, our region has that high binge drinking rate.
Yes, so important to focus on that and see what we can do to leverage that and change those numbers and make impact in our communities. Allison, what unmet needs or challenges was Family Recovery Center focused on addressing?
So in the past couple of years, we've definitely seen an increase in youth vaping, and we've done a lot to try and mitigate some of those issues with some targeted interventions, some more universal prevention, youth-led prevention. But what we were really hearing from young people who were engaging in early tobacco consumption was that either they felt their parents did not care or they just weren't having those discussions at all. And so we really saw that there was an opportunity to empower adults in the area to start having those conversations with young people and say, yes, we do care and we want you to make healthy decisions. And I mean, this campaign, the Talk They Hear You campaign, is built completely around that. So it was perfect alignment for us.
Yeah. And oftentimes it just takes that confidence building, right, to help kind of cross the chicken line, so to speak, right? So adults are feeling empowered and have those resources to be able to feel confident enough to have those difficult conversations with their youth. I totally agree. Well, thank you for sharing some of those specific challenges or needs that are present in both of your communities. I know that our listeners will be able to relate to those situations you've shared, and this may help them see how the Talk They Hear You campaign could be useful in their own work. So thank you for that. Moving on, I'd kind of like to hear about your experiences in the learning community. For those who aren't familiar with a learning community of practice, learning communities can be defined as a group of individuals who collaboratively engage and a learning endeavor toward a common goal for a specific period of time. So, David, would you like to share with us a little about your experience as a participant in the Talk They Hear You learning community?
Yeah, I really thought, you know, we had the multiple meetings and, you know, kind of, you know, what each project was. We really thought that there was some good insight of kind of best practices that we could pick up on. I know the Oh Yes survey was something that one of the other groups was working on, and it's not something that we've had success implementing here in Lake County, but it kind of brought up the conversation that other counties are having success with, you know, requesting and asking school districts to be a part of this survey because it would provide so much more information, you know, for us and for our agencies that are trying to serve the public. So I just thought there was some great conversation on what others were doing, what other successes that they were having. And that was one that you know, we've started to really look at it and ask our districts here in this county to follow suit and to, you know, get on board with the Ohio Healthy Youths Environment Survey.
That's great that you were able to build that connection. You know, that's definitely one of our goals of these learning communities that we'll dig into a little more deeply here farther on in the podcast. So, but we will definitely circle back to that for sure. And Allison, what was your learning community experience like?
I truly believe that prevention works best when people connect. And sometimes as a smaller organization in a rural, sometimes geographically isolated community, it can be hard to find other preventionists who are dealing with the same things. And it was really amazing that the learning community provided a lot of that support. It didn't feel like we were just a little dot on the map of Ohio trying to combat this problem that was affecting the entire state, but we were a community of preventionists working together to create change throughout the entire state.
That's fantastic to hear. Yeah, learning communities work best, right? When the whole group is bringing everyone together, sharing ideas, that's when we truly as preventionists can make such an impact throughout the state, as well as just helping reduce that isolation, right? Because prevention work is hard work at times. And so having that camaraderie with one another is also important too. That's fantastic. Our learning community actually had several goals, one of which was to provide that space for grantees to innovate together. We are actually pleased to share that the collective efforts of all of the 27 grantees generated an impressive 7.3 million localized impressions across Ohio. I think that's a great impact. So in thinking about this collective effort, how did the shared learning approach to this work enhance your community campaign, Allison?
I think that coming up with creative solutions to these issues can be really hard, especially if you might be the only person in your community who's trying to target this issue, depending on what your coalitions are working on. So it might be a very personal thing that you have this initiative for, but having the chance to hear what other organizations are doing or maybe have done in the past that have been effective, it really helps you come up with different ideas. And I honestly don't think I would have applied for the grant in the first place if I didn't know that there was kind of that community piece added in there to help you come up with the ideas for disseminating the information.
That's an excellent point and something to definitely keep in mind, right? As you're continuing this work in your own community is how to bring about those ideas and that idea generation machine. David, how did the learning community enhance your campaign?
I think it always just kept us, you know, really kind of having an open approach on the whole topic. I know even after we got started and we were part of the community, you know, we found that even our local general health district, you know, was interested in how this grant was working and how we were a part of it. And they asked to use some of the poster materials, the visual materials that they had to post on their social media. So it was just something that just seemed, you know, just easy that everyone understood it when we approached those that weren't part of the grant locally here. They could see, you know, the benefits and just wanted to be a part of it.
Well, it sounds like both of you have kind of relayed information that relates to our next topic or our next question about how this learning community, while working on separate projects, we're still able to be connected, right? I'm hearing both of that in both of your answers, that this learning community really brought people together and became like an idea factory and an evidence-based sharing community of practice as well, where you all shared out different ideas. Is there anything else either of you would like to add about how the learning community helped to build connection?
I would also share that Jen Morrill and Dr. April Schweinhart were incredible about meeting with us individually if we needed it too. And that also just really made me personally feel really supported. And I don't think that I've ever felt so supported in a grant-focused project like I did with this one because of that community and because responses were so timely and the focus really, it felt like it was on each of the people who were involved in the project.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, what I really appreciated was, you know, for someone that doesn't write a lot of grant work and reporting, I thought they just had real clear instructions on kind of what information they were looking for, where it might be found. And the group was great as far as, you know, how you could pull some different stuff together to, so that way, you know, you don't want to turn in something and have something be missing or incorrect. And I thought they did a great job just explaining, you know, what was due, when was due, and how to find the numbers or so forth that they were looking for the results to be able to submit each time for the grant.
Okay. That's fantastic. Thank you so much both for sharing those insights. It is our hope, actually, that these shared learning environments like this one will increase capacity for participants by introducing them to knowledge and skills that they or their local communities may not have had the chance to learn before. And it really sounds, from what I'm hearing, that definitely rings true for you both. And I know, David, you mentioned about not having a lot of experience in the reporting and grant pieces of that. And you did mention, you know, the guidance ship on that was super helpful. Is there any other experiences that you found valuable?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times we, you know, certainly here we get, you know, you might have an annual project or theme that you have. So I just really enjoyed, you know, hearing what other organizations were doing across the state, from big and small. You know, we're kind of a suburban community here, but to hear the more rural, to hear the big city, what they felt was going on, what was working, what feedback they were getting. Because we know that, you know, we're kind of in the middle, and sometimes, you know, it's coming one direction, the message is coming, or a trend is coming one way or the other. And I just thought that was helpful to be able to kind of hear what's going on out there, so we could, you know, be part of it as well.
Allison, what learning experience did you value most?
I was so appreciative of the logic model creation process. As it is in prevention, data is so important in driving what we do, why we do it, and whether or not we get funding to make it happen. And I think that logic models, you might know how to do it, you might not, but the process of pulling us through it and teaching us how to do it was so straightforward. I was really appreciative because I could figure out how to do a logic model on my own, but it can be difficult to make that process collaborative and actually involve other stakeholders. But I felt like I left that experience knowing exactly how to teach other people to go through that process with me.
That's amazing. Yes, logic models are so important. And I know sometimes I'm so happy you brought that up, because a lot of times people, you know, that's not their favorite thing to talk about. But I appreciate that, you know, you were able to dig in and that you came away with feeling more confident about walking through logic models with your community, right? Because that right there is going to create sustainability for sure for endeavors. David, you mentioned a few different things. Is there anything else you'd like to add about a new skill or information that has been useful in your work?
Well, Allison brought up the logic models, and certainly, you know, someone in marketing, you know, we're part of some of the planning of what our organization does. But we're more of the, you know, getting it out to the public. So I liked being part of more of the research and backing as to, you know, why the direction is and so forth. So I thought it was a good, you know, kind of experience and exposure to something that not always is something that, you know, someone in my position is a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could totally see that being useful and helpful, especially in other areas of your work, right? As you're thinking through and planning out other endeavors. And actually in thinking about those long-term impacts, it's important to leverage new information and skills in ways that sustain community prevention efforts. So another goal of the learning community was to keep sustainability for the initiative at the forefront of the work. So in reflecting on the learning community meetings that you were able to attend, David, how did participating in this initiative promote sustainable prevention practices and programming for Lake County?
Well, I looked at those meetings as, you know, just new ways, new experiences that you could get, you know, just in talking with some of the groups, you know, who they were using, what messaging they liked best, kind of shaped which ones that we were, you know, we might have had a top five, and we saw that other people liked that message the most and felt it resonated the most. So I thought that was a helpful way. It was a great sounding board for some of the things that we were thinking. You know, when you're a team of one, you know, having other people to bounce ideas off of or concerns is a really a big benefit.
Allison, how has this initiative assisted in promoting sustainable prevention programming for the Family Resource Center community?
So I mentioned before about how funding dictates a lot of what we do as well, and data equals funding and funding equals data. So sometimes as preventionists, we're forced to follow the funding and to just do projects that are financially backed. And sometimes that means we have to give up on projects that we knew were working simply because the funding isn't following it or backing it. What I really liked about this learning collaborative was that we walked away with some of those tangible skills that we can use to take out into the community and develop things and kind of share that workload without having to increase costs. One of the things that I was able to like tangibly do afterwards was run a logic model exercise with my youth-led prevention students. And because of what I learned, they were able to do it fluently, easily, and they did it really well. And that cost nothing. You know, I had a group of students and they helped me develop the logic model. It was a 2-hour process and 20 students, and I barely had to do anything to make that happen. And they also left feeling really empowered because they had done it all themselves.
That's amazing and fantastic. And I'm sure your inbox is going to get flooded with how to. How did you do that? Please share how you did that with the youth, because again, right, you know, those logic models can be challenging to complete. So I'm really happy to hear that you found the learning community so beneficial and that it's helped you in that regard. And that actually leads us to a couple other questions. Kind of speaking about aha moments or most impactful nuggets. So would either one of you like to add any aha moments or impactful nuggets of information that you received?
I think that something I learned was kind of being ready and willing to share that workload with the community is so important. You can't drive and generate a whole bunch of ideas by yourself. If you're the only person working on a project, you really have to pull other people in. And in the collaborative, I learned about so many fun, creative initiatives for increasing impact. And what I heard time and again was that those initiatives didn't come from one person sitting down and trying to have a day-long brainstorming session to come up with these creative solutions. It was a group of people coming together to address problems that they all cared about, and then choosing stakeholders to kind of help guide that process. And I thought that was really a valuable piece of the learning collaborative.
Yeah, I absolutely. Thank you, Allison. And David?
You know, being able to have the group, you know, as I mentioned, the Oh Yes survey, you know, that's something that we were implementing into our superintendent's meetings this year, as far as, you know, talking to them about, you know, that the survey is out there. We had a lot of superintendents in our county turnover this year. So, you know, getting them introduced to not only our services and how we can support students, but how we can, you know, gain additional information to see the trends that are happening in their school. I just thought that was you know, something really helpful, and to see the successes, we could, you know, go back to that and say, hey, you know, this county, you know, that you think is a prestigious school, they're doing it, and that's why we feel you should be doing it too. You know, that was an impactful nugget for us to be able to have something that not just, hey, this is a good thing to do, but an actual name in place that they know and respect in their circle that shows why it's important to gather that data.
Yes, absolutely. It's so wonderful when you can point to those partners, right, that have already walked that walk and walked through that and been like, hey, like you can trust this, right? It builds that level of trust. So I'm so grateful to hear that was something that really helped Lake County Adams Board in trying to talk to schools and build that connection for the Oh Yes survey. So it'll be exciting to see how all that turns out moving forward. Well, we've almost come to the end. We're almost ready to park this podcast. So before we end today, we always like to wrap things up by asking a few rapid fire questions to close our conversation. These are meant to be lighthearted and fun, and they're really a popular segment of the podcast for our listeners. So all you need to do is just answer the first thing that comes to your mind. No right or wrong answer, okay? Sound good?
Ready.
All right. So, based on our themes of talk, they hear you in learning communities, when it comes to learning communities, would you rather meet face-to-face or online? Allison?
Online.
David?
Face-to-face. Sorry.
Oh, one and one. We got to have a tiebreaker. And during the learning community, as you mentioned, each grantee needed to submit a logic chain, right, or a logic model, which required the use of data. So when using data, do you prioritize qualitative or quantitative data? David, why don't you go first?
Quantitative.
Quantitative one. And Allison?
Qualitative.
Oh, qualitative and quantitative. Again, we have a tie. So, all right, this last question, we'll see how this ends up. We ask all of our podcast guests this question. You're reaching into the candy dish full of M&Ms. Are you hoping for plain or peanut?
Plain.
Peanut.
Hey, they're nothing if not consistent. That's fantastic. Thank you, Allison and David, for sharing your time and experience with us. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion podcast, Prioritizing Prevention. If you've enjoyed this episode and would like to help support the podcast, please consider giving us a 5-star rating, sharing it with others, posting about it on social media, or setting the podcast to automatically download on your favorite channel. Doing so helps us reach more listeners and keeps the conversation going. To catch all the latest from the Center, follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, X, and Facebook at OH Prevention COE, or visit us at preventioncoe.ohio.gov to sign up for a monthly newsletter. If you missed our last podcast, it was with Amy Reimer, Program Director for Pickaway Addiction Action Coalition, and Christine Browner, Strategic Projects Advisor for 1 in 5. In that discussion, we identified strategies used by grantees to disseminate and tailor the Talk They Hear You campaign within the communities they serve, examined the impact of localized prevention messaging on the community, and recognized approaches for sustaining prevention messaging beyond initial grant funding. This podcast was produced by Ivory Lloyd at Global Insight Productions and is supported by Zeyu Zhang at the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion. Thank you all for your work to get positive prevention content out into the world.
This has been the Prioritizing Prevention podcast. For more episodes, you can visit us on Spotify, YouTube, Google Play, Apple Music, and many more. This program is funded by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. For more information about us, please visit preventioncoe.ohio.gov. Thank you for listening.